This is a CBC podcast.
Support for delivery of this podcast comes from the Buick Enclave, the finest luxury crossover ever. Visit buick.gm.ca to see that where there's passion, there's beauty.
Hi, and welcome to the CBC Comedy Factory. I'm Mike O'Brien. A happy Thanksgiving to our American listeners. I see that President Bush is once again pardoning the official White House turkey. It's a charming tradition, one that I'm sure brings a smile to many people, including the approximately 3,350 inmates currently on death row in American prisons. Hey, if any of them are ordering up a last meal right now, I hope they make it turkey. If you have to go, why not go out with some irony and gravy? More from the world of justice. A Saudi Arabian woman who was gang-raped was, of course, sentenced to 90 lashes for associating with men who are not her relatives. But hold on, justice lovers. This past week, a Saudi judge increased her sentence to 200 lashes. So kudos to the Arabian justice system for cracking down on sexual violence by punishing everyone involved. And while international criticism has not been enough to alter that woman's sentence, it was at least able to save the diseased cherry tree outside the Anne Frank House in Amsterdam. A Dutch judge ordered that 150-year-old tree not be chopped down, even though it poses a danger to the historic house itself. The tree will remain, and if it ever does fall on the house will receive 200 lashes. And from lashes to tongue lashes, here's our good friend El Rey bringing us up to date on Canadian politics.
A new study. Yeah, I always open with the most exciting news. A new study says that the richest Canadians pay lower taxes than the poorest Canadians, and this trend is continuing. You can read about this study in my new book, How the World Works. But hey, at least we have a half-decent democracy, unlike our brothers and sisters in Pakistan, who bravely march against the martial law of Prez Pervez, the latest in a long line of Western fair-weather friends. As Benazir Bhutto encourages bigger demonstrations, lots of folks in Pakistan saying, "I know you've been away for a while, but we do have TVs, and videos from Burma ain't exactly motivational tapes." But Musharraf isn't nearly as desperate to cling to power as the Canadian Conservatives, who don't need some silly old election to launch an attack ad on Stéphane Dion. Now, I know attacks are considered dirty politics, but what's this all about?
Stéphane Dion needs a higher GST because he's made billions in spending promises with no clear priorities. Something to think about the next time you pay the GST.
Next time you pay the GST. I think they used the cash register sound because they couldn't find this sound effect. Unfortunately, Stéphane Dion isn't the only target. Listen to Mr. Harper just this week.
The great threat in any country is when people who oppose the government don't have legitimate channels of opposition. The consequence of that in the long term will be that the only opposition becomes extremist or even...
Please, sir, is that any way to talk about the Bloc Québécois? But not content to kick poor nebbish Stéphane Dion, the Tories are going after another lame duck target, the toothless Senate.
Welcome to Canada's Senate.
Order! Order!
Unelected. Unaccountable. Stacked with liberals.
Horrible thing. Horrible thing. Liberal. Ebola. Osama. Liberal. Cholesterol. Chinese toys. Liberal.
But I think the Conservatives should be careful. Because one day, the things they're saying about the Liberals, one day, the Liberals might be saying the same things about them. It's all in my new book, How the World Works. For CBC Radio, I'm Al Ray.
Thanks, Al, for putting the lament in Parliament. Okay, it's spelled Liament, I know. The next item in today's comedy auction is comedian Fraser Young, who thinks privacy is an important right. Oh, sorry, that should be access to privacy is an important right. Access to your privacy. Here's Fraser.
Yes, we live in a dangerous world. As a result, we as a society have had to compromise our security in ways that previous generations couldn't even imagine. Phone wiretaps, internet monitors, And in some places, even video cameras recording activity on every street corner make it possible for outsiders to observe significant portions of our lives. Some say it's too much. I say it's not enough. I want to know what you're doing the rest of the time. I'm tired of being in the dark. I want to be able to keep tabs on anyone at any time. It's the only way for me to be sure that no one is trying to kill me. It's gotten to the point where I can't even sleep more than 10 hours a night. That's why we must change the way the world works now, before we are inevitably killed off one by one in some sort of sick reality show that I can't even watch because we're currently lacking adequate camera coverage. I want GPS chips in everyone, no exceptions. I want to know where everyone is at all times. Of course, it'll be tough to monitor 6 billion people at the same time, so I'll have to also know where you're going. So, once this program is in place, if you want to go anywhere, you'll have to program your destination into your chip before you leave the house. If you stray off course at all, you'll get a little zap or something. Not powerful enough to kill you, just enough to let you know that what you're doing is wrong. If you wanted to stop for a coffee, you should have thought of that before you left the house. Impulse buying is a threat to my safety. I hope I haven't frightened anyone. After all, this new system isn't strictly about increased security. Sometimes you just get curious. What are you doing right now? I bet you're listening to the radio. I know that even without a GPS chip. But sometimes, knowing where you are just isn't enough. I want some cameras in your house. Now, before you get creeped out, I'm not suggesting we have a camera in your bedroom or your bathroom, just in all the other rooms. I mean, really, what are you doing in your kitchen that you don't want me to see? Some people would say that it's none of my business what happens in their kitchens, and those people will be rounded up and put in jail. Once I get my cameras going, there's going to be a lot less negativity going around, believe you me. Pretty good system so far, huh? Zero crime, people wasting less time going from place to place, and fewer deceptions. Let's say you ask a girl out, and she tells you she has to go to her cousin's wedding. Sounds pretty suspicious to me. Just give me a call, and I'll tell you if she was lying. Even better, if she actually does have a wedding to go to, I can check out her date and see how you stack up against them. If things start to heat up between the two of them, I can make a phone call and have him arrested for treason or something. Just make sure you stay on my good side. Yes, it will be expensive to implement. That's why we will have to increase taxes significantly, up to somewhere in the neighborhood of 100% of your income. Once I get the GPS chips and cameras in place, any leftover dollars will build and maintain my fortress to ensure outsiders don't tamper with the system and bring chaos to my world. What is this?
Fraser Young, we know it's you in there.
Oh, well, it looks like someone at the CBC ratted me out. How did they even know? Listening to my recording? Well, that is outrageous. If I've said it once, I've said it a million times. This is a private recording booth, and you have no right to listen in. Well, I'm sorry, citizens. Because the government won't recognize my right to privacy, it seems that I will be unable to take it away from the rest of you. Thanks for nothing. For Definitely Not the Opera, I'm Fraser Young.
Thank you, Fraser, for putting the piracy in privacy. Man, my spelling is off today. I guess you could say I put the can't read good in dyslexia. Fraser wrote that piece for the most recent episode of Definitely Not the Opera. DNTO looked at privacy, and Fraser wasn't the only comedian to contribute to that theme. Here now to show us his privates is John Wing Jr. You may want to back away from the earphones.
This is John Wing reporting from the left coast of America, where privacy is neither a right nor a privilege. It is, to put it plainly, a myth. In an age when every phone call is listened to and every computer or cell phone or BlackBerry is hackable, when the government and the whole capitalistic system considers it a duty to stick its big snout into every little thing you do, privacy is a lost art, a forgotten language, an ancient fad like the sandwich or the pet rock. Go on YouTube and you'll find the video of you dancing naked in front of your mirror at age 14. It's there. Look in playlists, or channels, maybe. Besides, what is the point of privacy? If you keep really bad or sensitive things hidden, how will you ever get on television? Medical information used to be private. It wasn't well known that John F. Kennedy had Addison's disease. It was kept private. Then Lyndon Johnson, that nutball exhibitionist, showed his surgery scar on television, which led to the most intimate medical diagrams of presidential innards. Richard Nixon's hemorrhoids, Ronald Reagan's prostate, Dick Cheney's heart, assuming they were able to find one. Speaking of your medical condition on TV is no longer enough, even for newspersons. A few years ago, Today Show host Katie Couric had a colonoscopy live on the air, which brought new meaning to the phrase appointment television. I, too, have had a colonoscopy, and when asked about it, as I often am at parties, I describe it as a YouTube right up in MySpace. Privacy is no longer a right or a privilege. It is a task. A desperate firewalling, encrypting all-day, daily task. And no matter what you do, you'll still be bombarded by pop-ups and marketing calls by both real and recorded people. A few keystrokes by anyone will produce your credit rating, what you paid for your house, what music you listened to, and your last 1,200 major purchases, as well as your eye color, your endowment, your turn-ons and turn-offs, your Amazon, eBay, iTunes, and PayPal accounts, and whether you're prone to wearing underwear or not. And if you think it's bad for you, try and imagine what it's like for Lindsay Lohan or Britney Spears. Those poor kids. And the poor kids of those poor kids. My father is a private man. His favorite phrase is, "Mind your own damn business." And he retains some privacy in this world for the simple reason that he has never, repeat, never used a computer of any kind. He has never owned a cell phone. He had a rotary phone until a couple of years ago. He has never sent an email or a text message or filled out a survey or participated in a phone poll. Ever. If you search for him on the internet, you'll only find me. And some Chicago professor-author guy. My father has never rented a movie. And that's what it takes, my little surfers, to maintain your privacy. You must live in a late 1970s cave. It might have been a privilege once when there was a gentleman's agreement of sorts to leave the other fellow to his own devices. But the devices have now taken over, and woe betide the person who stands up against them. Nothing is private anymore. I'd like to say more, but I've just received a Google alert on my favorite athlete, and I also need to clear my recent history of visited websites. I'm John Wing.
DNTO also asked me for my thoughts on privacy. I told him it was none of their business. Now let's move on to the stuff that's everybody's business. All those topics you Google on the internet. And when certain topics show sudden spikes in the number of times they're clicked upon, our own Diana Francis endeavors to tell us why. Here she is, the Google Zeitgal.
I'm the Google Zeitgal, and it's time to find out what hot trends are gassing up the Google search engine. Starting with last Friday, a top search was for Steve and Barry's, a U.S. national retailer who is carrying a new clothing line from tennis superstar Venus Williams.
And tennis star Venus Williams is taking a shot at fashion. She launched her new fashion line, 11, in New York yesterday.
The collection will include clothing, footwear, and accessories that look just as good on your sister. Saturday was all about the newly single Chelsea Davy, who split with Prince Harry after dating for 3 years.
It's thought the final straw came after the Prince decided to miss Chelsea's 22nd birthday in favor of going to the Rugby World Cup final in Paris. Now,
are you listening, my boyfriend? A prince can't get away with skipping his lady's birthday, so you better find a good home for those Rough Rider tickets. Sunday was, of course, November 11th, and the top search was for everything related to veterans. And to those veterans, may I take this moment to say, thank you, 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 thank you. On Monday, the creator of the Kim Kins diet, Heidi Diaz, was being sued by disgruntled customers who now have health problems from following her diet. They also claim that Diaz lied about her own results on the diet. Diaz advertised that she lost 200 pounds. However, she's an obese woman. Diaz is expected to enter a plea of do what I say, not what I eat. For reasons I cannot understand, Tuesday had multiple hot searches for the website IamOnMTV.com, which links you directly to the cast of A Shot at Love with Tila Tequila. The MTV reality dating show features Tila Tequila looking for love with men or women. Frankly, sitting through an entire episode of A Shot at Love requires a lot of tequila. On Wednesday, everyone Googled Lucy Southworth, who's getting married to the Google co-founder Larry Page. Page met his new lady when he clicked on I'm Feeling Lucky. And the hottest search of the moment is the Jessica Simpson Collection. Simpson recently launched a new clothing line available only at Macy's.
The Jessica Simpson Collection has been such an amazing adventure for me.
The collection features handbags, shoes, and jeans that will look better on your sister. For CBC Radio, I'm Diana Francis, the Google Zeitgal.
Thanks, Diana. Now, lastly, let's talk about a grand November tradition here in Canada. No, not dreading the next 3 months of winter. Sorry, 8 months of winter. I'm talking about the Grey Cup. Deborah DiGiovanni is preparing for the big game. Mostly, she's preparing not to prepare. Here's Deb.
This Sunday, the Grey Cup is being played in Toronto. It's the first time the city has hosted the event in 15 years, and the celebration is going to be epic. I was surprised to find out that the Grey Cup is the largest annual Canadian sporting event, and this year, it's being commemorated with a three-day festival, including parties and concerts with Canadian bands ranging from April Wine to Great Big Sea. The game itself is sold out at the Rogers Centre, which means about 46,000 tickets were sold. And this year, the halftime show will feature sexy superstar musician Lenny Kravitz. Really, it's enough hoopla to make us Canadians proud. So this Sunday, it's the final game for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. The whole season comes down to this one game. Now, I know this game is the largest annual Canadian sporting event, and the weekend will be wonderful for Toronto's economy, and it's nice to see Canadians supporting their own teams. But really, I don't care. I know. I want to pretend to care. But honestly, I wrote most of this article without even knowing what sport I was talking about. I know. I'm sorry. I want to wish both teams good luck, and I hope that everyone has a really nice time. But now, to those of you who are still unsure what sport the Grey Cup celebrates, it's football, by the way. Please note, you don't have to suffer this alone. Now, if you are partnered with a sports lover, I suggest leaving your home. Evacuate immediately. Leave on Saturday night, go back on Monday. Let's just accept that your loved one will not be speaking to you unless you have nachos. And he might be drunk. And there might be more than one of him. Ugh. Solution? Have some private girly or non-sporty boy time. Get a pedicure, get drunk with your friends, go to a comedy show, do something outside your home. Now, for those of you who actually own the rights to your television, you should also beware of Sunday's festivities. Busy streets, no parking, and worse still, football fans everywhere. Who? I know, excited, sort of angry sports fans. Terrifying. Now, your solution, stay home. I know, the opposite works here. This is a day to wash floors, make fudge, and watch romantic movies. Or better yet, all three. This way, we can all celebrate our Canadian teams and their success, and all enjoy this special weekend together. But completely separately and far away from each other. For CBC Radio, I'm Deborah DiGiovanni.
Oh, Deborah, I don't mean to be patronizing, but I don't think you understand football. Not because you're a woman, because you're from Toronto. And by the way, me and any of my buddies will tell you, you can watch a football game and get a pedicure at the same time. You just have to go to the right party. Deborah, I just hope you come to your senses soon and cheer for Saskatchewan. Go Riders! My name is Mike O'Brien. Thank you for listening, and please join me in wishing the Riders luck in increasing the number of times they've won a Grey Cup by 50%. Because if they win Sunday, that'll be their third. Bye-bye.
For more on all of our CBC podcasts, head to cbc.ca/podcasting.